Good morning. The reading today is in Luke, 19th chapter, verses 1 through 10. I've walked up here many times, and I still get the flutters every time I come up here. Luke was a doctor by trade, and he chronicled Jesus' life, both before and after his death. He also collaborated with Paul on the writing of the Acts of the Apostles. This story is about Zacchaeus, a tax collector, in fact. And I think about this story because I worked for the Internal Revenue Service for 3 years back in the 70s, so I was, I guess, a tax collector of a sort at one time. Here is the reading. Jesus entered into Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. He ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay him back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's quite a transformation upon meeting Jesus.
I'd like to invite the children to come down. How are you guys this morning? God is good. All the time. Good. I want you to remember that, because that's part of a little bit of the sermon that we're going to be talking about today. All right? You know this song? Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And as the Lord was passing by, he looked up in the tree, and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to your house today, because I'm going to your house today." That's a children's song, and a lot of us learned that song, and I don't know if I did all the motions right, but it has been a while since I did that song. But it's a great message. Zacchaeus, what can you tell me? Tell me about something about how he looked. He was short. All right. He was so short he couldn't see over the people. Kind of like a kid in a crowd, right? You ever been in a crowd and you can't see and you say, Daddy, put me on your, yeah, or lift me, or carry so I can, yeah. Before Zacchaeus was a grown-up. And when you get to be grown-up, nobody puts you on their shoulders anymore. All right? And Zacchaeus is just sitting there trying to see Jesus. Well, we're going to learn something about this story, and I want you to listen carefully in the sermon today. Because God loved Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus didn't know what Jesus looked like, but Jesus knew what Zacchaeus looked like. Runs ahead and he climbs this tree and he's sitting up in this tree. Jesus stops right at that spot and he looks up and he says, "You come down, because I'm having supper at your house today." That's a wonderful story. It should remind you whether you're big or whether you're old or whether you're God loves you, and he's working in your life right now, all right? Now, the second part I want you to remember, God is good.
All the time.
Fantastic. Good together. God is good. All the time.
God is good.
Remember that? You got it. Good. Ready? Sorry. stand one together today. All right. Sure, Seth. You want to hold that open for me so I'll put this in there? There. Oh, yeah, I'm checking. There's these two. This could be a while. I knew I made a mistake. I know better. I don't behave. The rule is one treat. Take it or leave it.
Let it put your hand, put it down low so we can see. There you go, honey. Oh, you got one? Okay. There you go.
Thank you.
Good. Pastor. Well, it's the third week of school, and six junior classes. I have watched the movie God Is Not Dead six times. And God's blessed me with it. It really has. If you haven't seen it, please take the time to find out and get it. Oh, I don't know if we have a copy here in the library, but one of the things God showed me over and over again in the movie, and I was trying to help the kids see it, is God is good all the time. And you say that, we say that at certain times. It's a little easier at certain times than others. You know, hey, guess what? I got a raise. Got it announced this week. God is good all the time. Yay! You know, but you didn't get one, Bruce. God is not so good all the time. You know, you understand, depending upon your particular situation, we can recite that phrase quite easily, and it kind of rolls off our lips. And what's difficult is you can't say that at the wrong time. You know that, right? Someone dies in your family, and someone you loved and treasured. Hey, God's good all the time. You got to go, shut up. You don't mean to be rude in the sense of telling them to shut up. You just don't want to hear that. Don't talk to me about, right now I'm grieving. I'm feeling some pain. I'm feeling some loss. So watching a movie was really kind of ideal because you got to stand off almost like an angel, or even if you wanted to kind of take on the role of God for a moment, you could watch unfolding in front of you all these different lives. The rebellious reporter who hated God that wanted to trap Christians, the businessman who had no time for God or church or his own mother, the girl that was dating the wrong particular person, saying she was a Christian but dating this non-Christian atheistic professor. This professor who hated Christians so much and God so much that he made them write God is dead in his classroom. And the Chinese boy who came from a communist country where he'd never even been allowed to think about God, much less believe that God existed or anything else like that. Each one of the characters in this movie, God is working on. And you get to see what that, you know, that example of the tapestry. They like to say that if you see a tapestry from the wrong side, it's a confusion of colors and threads. But if you flip it over to the other side, you start to see the hand of God working in the middle of each of these situations. And so what I was trying to help the kids to understand, and this is why it gets so difficult, that what appears to be bad in one moment is unbelievably good as God unrolls the thing. So here's Josh, the college student. He goes into this philosophy class. The professor threatens him and says, if you don't sign the sheet that says God is dead, then you're going to have to stand up in front of the whole class and defend this. And Josh goes to the church to pray about it, and the pastor looks at him and he says, how many kids are in that class, Josh? And he said, well, probably 80. And he said, how many of those kids will find their way into a church? Probably says, probably none of them. And the pastor said, here's your answer, Josh. But Josh didn't want that answer, right? Why would I want an answer? Stand up in front of the class and embarrass yourself, commit academic suicide, look the fool. Why would I ever want to do something like that to myself? And yet here's Josh grabbing hold of the challenge in the middle of, would you say God is good in front of that professor? If you were Josh at that moment where that professor is confronting you and beating you and your faith down, would you say God is good? You understand? Here is what the movie is trying to challenge us with. God is good all the time. even when we're in a situation we can't see or we're clear from. So here's this kid having to defend God in this situation, and you watch all the different stories unfold around it. Now, we know somebody sat down and wrote it, and we know it's a movie. But the reality of understanding that in the middle of temptations and situations and difficulties, God is good all the time, or you're not exercising the truth about what God says about himself and what God feels about you. God wanted to save the professor in that movie, and he wanted to save the young lady who was the reporter that didn't have any time for God, and he wanted to save the one girl's brother who was the businessman who had everything in his life, all the wealth and prestige and honor he could handle. And he wanted to save this foolish young woman who was dating an atheist like somehow it didn't matter who you date. And he wanted to save the kids in that class. And the list goes on and on. And so as the movie unfolds in front of you, even though you watch Josh get intimidated and beat down and lose his girlfriend and all kinds of other things, in the end, you begin to understand God is good all the time. Why? Because the professor is challenged, because the kids stand up, because a Chinese kid walks up to, who was an atheist when he walked in, or an agnostic at best, walks up to Josh and he says, I've given my life to Christ. I want to follow Christ. I'm going to follow him. All right. And so within the framework of that, you have got to understand that is still true about your life. Now, how many of you got something you remember that they said? Well, some of you are so close to being young yet. For those of us who have to really think back when you were young, you get this kind of term applied to your life or name applied to your life. And in some cases, you fight it all your life. And it has a tendency to shape you. It has a tendency to push you in one direction or another. You're stupid. You're not stupid. You're really cute. You're not cute at all. Boy, you're ugly. You know, hundreds of terms that people throw at us that we pick up along the way, and you begin to go, is God good even though someone is hurling that term at me? Here's the librarian. Josh walks up with a stack of books, and she happens to be in the class where Josh is doing his talk. She looks at him, she looks at the book and sees what it is, an apologetic of his faith, stamps the thing, and she says, you got to get a life. In the end, she stands up. Now, the miracle, if you understand, is now I'm going to tell you a true story. That is not just a story. It's Zacchaeus. We know something about Zacchaeus. It's a characteristic. He was a short guy. Short guys have some unique problems. So do tall guys. All right? So are all you short people going, is he thinking about me? Is he talking about me? No. I'm talking about Zacchaeus. I'm talking about the fact that this guy is so short that he can't find a way to see what's going on through the crowd. That's short. You have to understand, here's this guy who is trying to see God, who is trying to see Jesus, who has heard his reputation, has this longing to see him, and he can't even accomplish it. So he figures out, he guesses the path they're going to walk down, and he runs way ahead, and he climbs up this fig tree, a sycamore, a fig, or something similar to that kind of a tree. He climbs up this tree so he can at least get up off the ground. And here's the miracle. The miracle is when Jesus walks up there, he stops and he looks at this man who he knew he was calling that day. Do you understand? Zacchaeus being short was not a problem for God. God was about to use this experience. God was about to take this moment and set Zacchaeus up because he says, Zacchaeus, I have to come to your house today. It is necessary, as it says in the Greek, it's necessary for me to come to your house today. And so in this setting now, this small person who probably was dealt with in any number of ways, who also happens to be a principal tax collector. I don't know, you're pretty brave to admit that, Dave. A principal tax collector, and Jesus, that foolish man, which is not foolish at all, looks at Zacchaeus and he says, "Your house today, now." The miracle of the story of Zacchaeus is really simple. God has got these times when he wants to meet with us, that he's going to bring us into the situation, that he's going to use every one of our unique character qualities and characteristics to accomplish his purposes, whether we're young or old, short or tall, fat or thin, or whatever the case might be. Because in the middle of it, as we keep stepping into what God has for us in the next step and the next step, God will continue to accomplish his purposes. Now, the situation that makes the story of Zacchaeus so beautiful is Zacchaeus, this man does not only get converted, but if you said, what was the evidence? You have a list of the evidence. This man didn't say, I'll follow Jesus, all right, and I'll play a couple of Christian tunes. He came up with a list. You heard the list read to you. I will give half of everything I own to the poor. And in any way, if I've ever betrayed or disrespected or done something illegal toward anyone, I will pay him back four times what I stole from them. That's a commitment. That's an evidence. I mean, there is no doubt. You don't walk away from this story going, gee, I wonder if Zacchaeus really believed in Jesus. You have the evidence. It screams at us. It just challenges us. It encourages us. It's kind of the what would we see in your life? What testimony was evidence this week? Watch. If any of you worked on that kitchen, stood up and painted in there, patched walls, stand up. Come on. Come on, all you short people. Come on, a little quicker, John. There you go. Thank you. Now, is that the only way I want to talk about? No. How many of you had an opportunity to witness to someone this week? There's a hand. There's a hand. There's a hand. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Praise God. How many of you had an opportunity to do something for someone who couldn't and didn't say thank you? Moms, think about supper, your husbands. Husbands, wives, mow lawn. It happens all over the place. Okay. How many of you had an opportunity to have God work in your life in a special way that you didn't know he was going to work on it, but he said, this is your moment, this is your day, Wednesday, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm talking to you. Anyone have a moment like that this week? There's a few out there. Good. Middle of, oh, that counts too. I just didn't say it, so... Middle of the night. You understand? God has got these moments, these times, these opportunities. This moment for Zacchaeus is presented. Jesus goes, this is your moment, Zacchaeus. Get out of the tree. Come down. I'm coming to your house. And it says, this man welcomed Jesus into his house. This man is brought to a point where he is so evidently converted by actions that you see his life change right before your eyes. And those people around Zacchaeus knew that he had been with Jesus. And here's the part they also had to deal with. And Jesus took the time to be with him because he behaved. He lived out his life differently. And so into the middle of this, in one sense, we normally stop the story. Now, I want you to open your Bibles back to that section, if you would, in Luke 17, Luke 19. Got my page wrong here. Where do I got Zacchaeus? Here we go. Parable of the ten minas. While they were listening to this, Jesus tells them this next parable. You see, in these moments where you see a man obey, where you see a conversion right in front of your eyes, where you see a Josh-like miracle in Zacchaeus, a miracle where Josh stands his ground and won't back down, and so respectfully and tenderly confronts that professor. That moment is taking place. There is a whole crowd of people around those situations. See, that's the part that the rest of this story addresses. You understand? You know the story of Zacchaeus. You hear the testimony of Zacchaeus. It's meant to challenge you and encourage you. God's coming after you. There are more than one moment when God talks to you and talks you out of that tree. There's more than one moment when you are unable to see God, either because of your own pain, your own fear, your own suffering, whatever it happens to be, and God is coming after you. He doesn't quit simply because you said, I gave my life to Jesus, or I was baptized, or whatever how you phrase your salvation. He's coming after because he says, I have more. I am going to eat with you today. I am going to share my life with you some more today. There's more for you yet to grow up and learn. And in the backdrop of the rest of this story comes this little example. And Jesus now talks to the other 80 people in this movie. However big that crowd was, probably a lot more than 80. But he tells them this parable, all right? While they were listening, he went to tell them a parable. I'm in verse 11 now. Because he was near Jerusalem, and the people thought that the kingdom of God was going to appear at once. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him. That's not Zacchaeus. That's all the other people yelling about Jesus going to talk to a tax collector. Hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, sir, your minas has earned 10 more. Well done, my good servant, his master replied. Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities. The second came and said, sir, your mina has earned 5 more. The master answered, you take charge of 5 cities. Then another servant came and said, sir, here is your mina. I have kept it, laid it away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you because you're a hard man and you take out what you did not put in and you reap what you did not sow. The master replied, I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow. Why then didn't you put your money on deposit so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest? Then he said to those standing by, take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas. Sir, they said, he already has 10. He replied, I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as to the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me. What a parable. Back to the movie with me just a moment, because I know most of you have seen it. The businessman, in sarcasm, is sitting with his mother who is struggling with dementia. And he looks at her in his arrogance and he says, you have loved God all your life. You are probably the nicest person I know. And look at you. You don't even know who I am. And me, I'm the worst person I think I know. And he said, my life is very good. And then there's a parable, a prophecy, a word from the mother. Remember, she's just kind of staring straight forward. And God begins to speak to her. He says, sometimes Satan lets people have a blessed life where they don't have any problems. because they're sitting there and the door is wide open for them to enter into the kingdom of God. But their life is going so well that they never notice, and they never leave the cell that they're trapped in, because the cell has way too much appeal to them until it's too late. The parable. It's exactly what Jesus is doing for the others. He's having a moment where he looks at him, he says, here's Zacchaeus. He came out of the tree. He's converted. He's been born again. He's a brand new man. Everyone can see that and experience that. He said, for those of you who didn't get the message, this opportunity is yours for a time. And the time will come. And he uses the parable. So it says, that king over there, he's not necessarily saying he's the king, but that king over there, he made this decision and rewarded and took things away as he saw fit. And he didn't punish the last one. He just rebuked him. But those that wanted the king not to be his king, that king killed them. Now you have to understand, there are people around you that God is working on trying to bring. And I go, you have to understand, every day of our life begins another movie of God is good. Only you happen to be the Josh. You happen to be the star of your movie. Someone needs to be talked to. You need to take a stand. You need to get down and pray. You need to make a difference, because there's 10, 20, 30, 50, 80 people around you that God wants to impact because you took the time to do and be what God called you to do and be. And so the challenge is, do you really believe God is good all the time? Poor Zacchaeus, he was probably teased and mocked on. Certainly becoming a tax collector wasn't exactly a prized possession, a position among his fellow people. But he may have gotten to a point where he says, I have no friends anyway. I might as well. And you know that whole process of tax collectors and gatherers and the whole thing that you go through with that situation. And so here in the middle of it, you have got this example. And Jesus is calling. Even in the hardness of this parable, what's he doing? Right? Young lady, you have cancer. I don't have time for cancer. You have it anyway. I'm calling. You haven't listened to anything else. I'm calling. All right? Professor laying on the road dying. All right? I don't want to die. I don't want to die. And in the pastor and that merging of that opportunity as the movie presents it. And I go, you have to recognize those moments, those days, those opportunities are very real in your and my life. There's a Zacchaeus in your world. You are sometimes the Zacchaeus, but other times you are going to be Christ's representative going, this is your day, this is your moment, this is your time. And Josh had to stand up there all alone, with 79 people staring at the poor idiot in front of the class about to ruin his academic career. And so that's the challenge. That's the invitation. That's the call. Zacchaeus got out of the tree and opened up his house and said, you come. You see, there was the work of God going on in these people's lives. And so you're in my life. As we look at it, we begin to understand God has got this wonderful tenderness toward you. I mean, if you remember nothing else than I know it becomes cliche if we're not careful, but God is good all the time. And you walk out of the church and you start looking around going, I know there's something that you're doing in this. Who do you want me to talk to? Who do you want me to call? What do you want me to do in this moment? Fix your tire. It's flat. Yeah, but where's the glory in it? Fix the tire. The spare's in the trunk. Get it out. Yeah, but where's the glory? I don't want you to live like that. I want you to just start going and go, I wonder how God is going to put this together. And some you're going to get lucky enough to see on this side of the grave, and the others you're going to have to wait till he plays the replay of your movie. Remember when you were changing that tire? Yeah. Your kids were watching you. You know how you used to change tires? What the, you know, tire, stupid car, I wish I had more money, and I don't get enough pay, and life. You know what you did that day? What? You changed a tire with your mouth shut. You know what else you did? You smiled at your kids. And they said, Daddy, why are you smiling? Because God's good. All the time. You understand? You thought you were changing a tire. This whole opportunity was for your child. Now they have a testimony. You know what my father does when he has a flat tire on the car? He gets out of the car and he changes it. Well, you know what mine does? He swears at my mother. Then he curses Chevrolets and says, I never should have bought this. And your mother made me. And the old car was much better because the tires never went flat. And on and on and on. And I go, that's how simple the power of God is working in the middle of a situation you can't fully comprehend. God has got so much good planned for his people. He wants to open the floodgates of heaven. Let's let him. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, by your mercy, by your grace, call us to the truth that you are loving us, that you care about our circumstances, and from the smallest tear shed, from the moment we have to pull out a jack to change a tire or something else to wash a dish or pick up something for someone else, Lord, you are good all the time. And so, Lord, call us into that flow of that river of that truth, and call us into your presence and fill us up, Lord, today, and make us really taste and know that. We pray, Lord, that in all things, those words would live in our heart, in our actions, in our thoughts. We pray this in your name, Jesus. God's people say, amen.